Welcome back to Elizabeth on the Fringe. I am Elizabeth. Conversations in Quarantine, Episode 2. I'm here with two very special guests. I'm here back with Lucienne and a new guest, Sutanya. They're both entrepreneurs. So, Lucy, start off with you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lucy, and I'm a travel blogger, and my website is www.travellucy.com.
Sutanya. Hi everyone, my name is Sutanya. I'm a website developer and blogger based in Jamaica. My website is www.sutaniamokorj.com.
Excellent. So, Conversations in Quarantine, Episode 2. We're here to discuss relationships and dating. Yes. So, we're going to start off with these two ladies as to their experience dating in Jamaica of late. Any one of you can start.
Oh, everybody pointing at me.
Yes. It's a democracy.
Well, dating in Jamaica has been interesting for the most part. Honestly, like, I had better luck with foreigners, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. In terms of...
They were more respectful and they were more tentative.
They knew
how to date.
Okay. So they observed dating etiquette.
Yeah, they observed dating etiquette. They would text you, they would actually call you, make plans for an actual date to go out, mm-hmm. you go to dinner, whatever, you know. But then with the Jamaican ones, it was more like, ah, let's Netflix and chill, or go to a coffee house for 5 minutes, or nowhere at all. It's like they just didn't have any decorum. Mm-hmm. Lazy. Mm-hmm. And these were not lower level type guys. These were like, if you saw them, you would be like, oh, they should have it together, right? Mm-hmm. No, they don't. Mm-hmm. Okay, unless they're holding out for Halle Berry. I really don't know.
Please note, everybody, we're not here to demonize all men of any one particular culture. We're just discussing our personal experiences. So yeah, I can admit that has been my experience as well. There's just a lack of acknowledgement of dating etiquette, or some are more comfortable to just kind of talk to you via social media. They're not interested in going past the social media phase. I don't know if there's an anxiety that's not being discussed that they're experiencing. I'm not sure. I don't know. But Sutanya, what has been your experience?
Unlike Lucy, I've only been with persons from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. In general, some, as you said, they don't have the whole dating etiquette. Mm-hmm. But I've met some that they're wonderful, mm-hmm. right? They know how to date you. They know, mm-hmm. they take you out. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, total gentlemen. They'll open the door. Mm-hmm. But then there are some other things that, of course, cause the relationship to not, mm-hmm. For us to be, you know, broken up. Mm-hmm.
Infidelity.
I was trying to go there yet, but okay, infidelity.
Philandering is another word.
Yes. They're not able to settle with just one.
Yeah, and I don't think they want to, because yeah. it's just so easy for them to, mm-hmm. just yeah. get a girl, yeah. and whatever, yeah. and then move on to the next
yep.
one.
Right. Yep.
It's so easy, and it's like they don't have no reason to want to settle down.
Right. Because yeah. they can get everything. So
that's too. Yeah. I think too, it's also the women that they're dating. Yeah. And it's like they allow
certain things. To, yeah.
Exactly. Certain stuff.
So standards are being lowered on a whole, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And since the standards are being lowered, I've noticed it as well. If you're going to, this is a human trait, if you're going to give somebody something for free and make it easy for them, then they're not going to appreciate working for a woman who has standards.
Mm-hmm.
So what I learned was, when you have standards, to others who don't have standards, it's going to feel like work to try to meet you there.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously it's who you meet and where, what time, you know, where they are in life, etc. But I've noticed that, you know, society in terms of dating is usually led by females, in the sense that men behave based on the standards of the women.
Mm-hmm.
Men are the gatekeepers of relationships, and women are the gatekeepers of the physical act of love. I will keep it there. So, again, you know, I understand the whole women's liberation and everything, but I'm not judging anybody who wants to, you know, have multiple partners or anything like that. That's not my business.
Mm-hmm.
However, again, on a mass scale, when everybody's on the same wavelength, you know, it, again, standards, if there aren't any, the men aren't going to respond. So, well, they'll respond, just not in the way that you want. So, yeah. Yes, so anywho, what else? So on the flip side, green flags.
Mm.
You know, what, okay, whether Jamaican or foreigner, what would be your green flags, Lucy?
I love how everybody is just looking to me first. Okay.
Uh-huh, accept it.
Green flags for me are pretty, it's pretty standard for me. Maybe not for other women, but for me, it's pretty standard. I mean, they have a job.
Mm-hmm.
They take pride in their appearance and how they dress. They're respectable. They are respectful. And I love honesty, because whether people like it or not, it's good to be honest on like a first date or so. You don't want to find out few months down the line at day 20 odd that the person surprise has a wife, or surprise with three kids
and a dog,
you know. So or that they've been to prison or anything, right. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like
in debt.
Wow, yeah. Beyond measure. Mm-hmm. You know, like
to
I think
the eyeballs.
Yeah, I think it's good to have certain things out. Mm-hmm. On the first date, or at least the second date, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just accept it, like, I would say, like, because what happens is that some people are afraid to tell the truth right up because they feel like, oh, I'm going to lose this person. But it's not your decision in the mm-hmm. end, because
right.
these things are important things to know. Like, did you go to prison like 2 mm-hmm. years ago, just come out? Like, did you
mm-hmm.
lose your job 10 years ago, trying to rebuild now?
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, it might not sound important to you, but they need to know where you are in
mm-hmm.
your life
mm-hmm.
and what you want, what you're looking for. Because some men, they're just looking for a easy lay
mm-hmm.
for that night, and some are actually looking for a wife, and you don't want to waste people's time.
Exactly.
But then when you're young, you feel like you have forever to do all these things, so it just
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter. But when you're in that age category,
mm-hmm.
you kind of look at things differently.
True. Yes, Sue. So the positives for you.
Like Lucy said, some of the things that I look for when I'm dating is, of course, gotta have someone that's attractive to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to look at somebody who's attractive.
Yeah.
He has to definitely have, I mean, for me, it's not that I need a millionaire,
mm-hmm.
but I need someone who, of course, can handle himself.
Mm-hmm.
He has to have some sort of intellect. you know?
Definitely.
Definitely, because communication is very important for me. So I need to be able to talk about almost every kind of topic. I don't want to be talking about something and you're like,
what?
Crickets. Right? Adventurous. Because I like to go out and do things, not just parties, but
traveling
and all those things. You gotta have a sense of humor too, because I'm a prank you. And we're going to do some.
This
you know
girl,
me, Queen.
This girl can prank people like crazy. Like,
right.
She has run some crazy pranks on me.
So, you know, you have to have a little sense of humor. And for me, because my background, my grandfather, rest in peace, was a pastor, so there has to be some level of religious background in a sense. So those are, you know, in a sense what I'm looking for. Yeah, those are my green flags,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
That I can think of right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I concur with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel I concur as well. I really value loyalty.
Yes.
Communication and loyalty.
Ooh.
And honesty.
Some heavy words. That's
heavy. And I find a lot of people in general, it's not just men, because, you know, everything that I say about one group can be laid at the feet of another group. So it's not about man bashing or woman bashing or anybody bashing. So in my interactions with the opposite gender, I find, you know, there's a lack of honesty, a lack of integrity, and a lack of loyalty. General lack of loyalty. And noting the negatives, noting the positives and the negatives, which is really the purpose. I want to talk about the positives as much as the negatives. I've noticed that all of this we're experiencing now in dating and relationships and people going through divorces over ridiculous things. I find that social media isn't helping. Technology isn't helping in the sense of people can take their phones and laptops to bed and be beside their partner in bed and doing all kinds of nonsense. Without their knowledge and the lack of integrity on that person's part. It's really not the technology's fault. It's not the phone's fault. It's the person's fault. And when and obviously those traits I feel can be kind of explained by, I would say, toxic environments growing up. And I found the toxic environments to be both familial and religious. Not knocking any religion, not calling any names, but there are factions of different religions, and also because our country is so based in religion, not just one, but several, I've noticed that there are toxic factions of these religions, and these toxic factions seem to want to, or maybe not want to, but naturally sort of absorb people who are from backgrounds that are in themselves toxic. Broken homes, not knocking anyone for broken homes, it happens, nobody's perfect. But what I found is that there is a sort of, what would I say, it's a spiritual, almost extortion. There's an emotional, spiritual and mental extortion of people's weaknesses. And also people's inability to discern. Discernment is so important. I've seen people sacrifice for toxic relationships that are going nowhere. And they're able to lie to themselves for years. And it's really not my business what people choose to do. But when children are born through situations like this, they just grow up to be more toxic people. And the society does have to pay for it. We live in a society. So we, I want to explore those little
nuances
to the situation in this conversation. So I've met several men who are in very toxic relationships with either family members or partners, and some men will take up a partner or a wife because they feel sorry for them and they think they're doing them a favor by being with them while simultaneously philandering, we say, you know, behind the person's back. Several. I've met so many, you know, I don't know. I've stopped counting. And instead of getting angry and instead of demonizing, I've decided to think about it logically and kind of trace it back to the possibilities. What can I learn from it? What can we learn from it? And how do we take that into the rest of our lives in terms of finding partners who are healthy? And that's not to say that a toxic partner can't become non-toxic, but that person has to actually be willing to do the work. And a lot of that is based in self-worth.
Yeah.
So if the person is lacking self-worth, they won't be motivated to do any better. Mm-hmm. They'll be more comfortable in the toxic cycles because that's their home.
Yeah.
So usually broken homes, fathers probably philandering as well. Maybe mental illness is a factor. And, you know, a lot of these mothers themselves, they do their best to raise their children. But I found that a lot of females who have been in these relationships that have children are emotionally toxic themselves. And they will take out their emotional frustration out on their children and say things like, if they do certain things, it's going to hurt her because it reminds her of her ex-partner. And I think that is probably one of the worst things a mother can do to her children. Emotional and mental abuse, I've found, affects people more deeply than any physical abuse in many, many cases. And you, Lucy, you've come into contact with men who've had that background as well.
Girl.
How has it? What are the things that you noticed in the person in terms of their behavior?
Let me tell you something. I've come across two. The first one, coincidentally enough, is not Jamaican. But while we were dating, I buck ups.
Buck ups is by chance.
Yeah.
For those who don't know.
Yeah. The guy had some emotional problems that stemmed from his divorce. Okay? So, at first I thought it was from his home life, but when he talked about his home life, you know, he said he had a good home life, both parents, you know, siblings and all that, and he had a pretty good upbringing. But then when he talked about his ex-wife, it was more like, ah, so that's where it came from. But then it's like he misses that aspect of abuse. And it's not physical abuse, it's some form of mental abuse where he feels less than or less than worthy. Like he can't get what, like a shiny, like a kid who has a shiny toy, gets a shiny toy. Like he feels like he's not deserving of that shiny toy. So he will come up with all these reasons that, oh, I'm terrible for you or whatever, whatever, when you're just like, what are you talking about? And then goes into this cycle and it's like over and over. So needless to say, that didn't work out. But other than that, he was a great guy. But, you know, that is a form of abuse that happened for him during his marriage, because his marriage wasn't a short marriage. It was like over like 15 years or something like that. So it was a long process. And, you know, the way how he talks about her, you can tell that he really did love her. But then this other bad things about her, he misses that too. And I'm just like, why would you miss that too? Like, isn't that like a form of abuse? Because now you're suffering. Like, she don't want you back, but here you are 5 years later and still can't get over it. Like, that's that's troubling, you know? And he will have these mental breakdowns and drink heavy sometimes. And, you know, it was just like, I can't live with that. And for me, that was a major red flag. So I chose to stop it right then and there when I discovered that, because I was just like, I can't deal with this. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not take up any projects. Okay? Do not do it. Okay? Do not take up any projects. It is not your responsibility. Okay? They have to work on it themselves. Okay? You can't do it for them.
Right.
Because if you choose to be that superhero for them, you will do that until the day you die. okay? Mm-hmm. The day you die. So don't take
open
up any projects.
Open the mic. She's open the mic.
Open the mic. Don't take on any projects. Just don't do it, okay? And then the second one, that one is just...
You need a moment.
I need a moment for this one, because this one...
A deep breath.
This one... Mm-hmm. This one is wow. Mm-hmm. Like,
I met this one.
Girl, this mm-hmm. one is like a sociopath and a psychopath and a narcissist in one. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine?
We're not using these terms. We're not mental health professionals, okay?
No, we're not.
We're not. So we're just, we take these things seriously when we say these things, but she's not diagnosed. She's not diagnosing
him. Diagnosing
we're not
anything.
Diagnosing anybody. Just, that's not what we're here to do.
I'm just telling you my side. You know what I'm saying? Right. And this was probably about 3 years or 4 years of this. Mm-hmm. And if anybody knows me, they know me as a very bubbly person, always fun, lighthearted, very positive. Mm-hmm. And... during this time, it's like I lost myself, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like doing things that I never thought in a million years I would do, but because of this love for this person, I was like, okay, I'm gonna try, because, you know, as my father says, like, you know, it takes two to make a relationship work. So mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, okay, let me do my part mm-hmm. and see what can happen, because mm-hmm. I don't want to say that I didn't do my part, you know what I mean? So I did everything in the book. Like, I tried everything. Counseling, I tried changing the way I do things mm-hmm. and communicate and everything about myself, to the mm-hmm. point where I was distressed because it wasn't working. And I was like, what else can I do? Mm-hmm. And I realized that this person did not want to do any work. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They just wanted to sit back mm-hmm. and control you like a puppet. You know what I'm saying? And I realized it too late, because I was too about this person. Like, I was, you know, when I said don't take on any project, this is what I'm talking about. Because I took on this project like, oh, he just needs this. He just needs that.
Mm-hmm. Let me potential.
Just, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I looked at the potential, mm-hmm. right? I saw all the red flags in front of me and chose to ignore them like a claffy. Okay?
Another Jamaican term.
I will never, ever do that again. Mm-hmm. But it was a big lesson for me, because... even though I knew that before, for some reason, I tossed it out the window. But it's like that relationship really taught me something, like, hey, I really can't obsess about somebody to the point where I lose myself. You know what I mean? Right. I have to also focus on myself, mm-hmm. work on myself, mm-hmm. and also have things for myself as well. Not mm-hmm. be all about the other person. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And to maintain that. Mm-hmm. Because you can't have a successful relationship if the two people are obsessing over each other and they're not taking care of themselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you always have to take care of yourself, always. But mm-hmm. also have that time for them as well.
Exactly.
But never forget about yourself, ever. You can't mm-hmm. forget about yourself.
True.
And to go... for your goals, same way. Don't mm-hmm. put them in the back burner or anything. Like, continue to mm-hmm. progress. Continue right. to work on yourself. Yes. You know what I mean?
So in terms of his background, what did you notice were the things that affected him negatively that brought him to this place in life that made him do the things he did?
Girl. So I wouldn't say that he came from a great background, because he didn't come from a loving family. Mm-hmm.
Right. And like, we know that doesn't guarantee that your partner is not going to be loving toward you.
True.
But without the work, this
without
is usually
work,
what happens.
Yes. So his family background, he basically didn't have no relationship with his parents, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And yes, he would have relationships with his other family members, but it's not the same thing because...
Mm-hmm. Was it more surface level? Was it deep or surface level?
I don't think it... From the outside looking in, it looks like surface level to me.
Mm-hmm.
I bet he would not agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
But from the outside looking in, I just didn't feel like it was that deep because mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure if he did something wrong, they'll be quick to attack him. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's surface level. That means they don't really care for you like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I could see the potential that he wanted
mm-hmm.
certain things for himself. So I was just like, okay, maybe what my mother said about people coming from broken homes is
mm-hmm.
you know, a doozy. Like, she don't know what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. You know? So I went for it, and then...
Hi, Lucy's mom.
Hi, mom. I love you. But in it, it's mm-hmm. like the person I knew before,
mm-hmm.
I got a 360.
Mm-hmm. So what was dating like?
I'm guessing mm-hmm. the 360 right. is the real person.
Right.
So what I got was the fake part
right.
that I thought was real.
Right. So compare the dating stage with this person to when it became really serious.
So the dating stage, like looking back on it now, like it was decent. It wasn't like what was happening now. Like he had the proper dating etiquette and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
we spend all times together and all these things and go out and whatever, whatever. But then after the love hurdle came, like other things came, and you know, I just chose to ignore it, that
mm-hmm.
when really and truly it was a red flag from the beginning. So mm-hmm. you know, I mean, my father always tell me, well, my mother actually
mm-hmm.
always say that people can't pretend past 5 years. So I was
it's
just like
so true.
I was just like, really? She's like, I'm telling you, people can't pretend past 5 years, seven mm-hmm. tops, you know. So with this relationship, it was quick, like
mm-hmm.
not to say that quick stuff don't work out, because with some relationships when mm-hmm. it starts so quick, they end up having like this 20-year mm-hmm. 30-year, you know, relationship that is successful. So it's not to say that it doesn't work, but in our environment here
mm-hmm.
because there are so many pretenders out here,
oh boy.
Giving them mm-hmm. a period of 5 years sounds logical,
right?
I guess that's why a lot of women at the 5 year mark are like, okay, I'm ready for that ring, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not at two, not at one, not at three, but at five, because at five
mm-hmm.
you know that person now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Supposedly. Yeah. So the things that in your mind, you know, led him to be the sort of person that would hide who he really is, be as manipulative as he was, and would you venture as far as to say it was emotionally abusive?
I would say so, because everything turned out to be my fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I go through my mind like, how is this my fault? And then after a while, I just mm-hmm. accept it. It's just my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that was where I went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have done that. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? But then I don't like to fight. I really hate to fight. Like, it takes a lot of energy for me to fight, and I hate it. So
mm-hmm.
just have a good laugh. Like, yeah, whatever. All right, fine. You're right. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But I really shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back,
mm-hmm.
that is one of the things I really should not have done, because mm-hmm. I basically handed him the ammo to continue to do what he was doing. So
mm-hmm.
I have to take some responsibility in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, being able to be reflective, that is something that a lot of people can't do.
Mm-hmm.
They can't self-reflect
right.
and look at what they did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They just continuously blame the other person. You know what I mean? Not to say that the whole thing was my fault. I'm just reflecting on what
I
saw, what I could have done different, you
right.
know. But because of his background,
mm-hmm.
I already had it in mind that, okay, I don't want him to feel threatened or, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
apart from the dysfunctional family background, the other aspect of his background that had a negative effect on his upbringing would have been...
relationships. Oh, religion.
How did that affect him?
At first, it wasn't an issue. Like, he made it not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But then, further along in the relationship, it became this big thing. And I'm just like, but I didn't agree to this.
Mm-hmm.
And we both talked about this. And I said I would never convert to this. So...
Mm-hmm.
I said I would go twice a year to your big functions, and that's about it, and you accepted it. So why now is this a problem? You know what I mean? And it became, I think, an excuse for him to make it look like, oh, this is a problem that you know, just another tick under my name to say what's wrong with her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, you're not going to force me to join something that I already told you.
Mm-hmm.
It will never happen.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up a certain way in a certain religion, and it's just not going to happen because mm-hmm. that religion is like a total... It's not a denomination of my religion. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
if it was a denomination of my religion, I wouldn't have a problem because...
Mm-hmm.
It's still under that same umbrella. But this, to me, even though it's considered to be under that same umbrella, it technically it's not. Because
right.
their whole way of being and everything is completely different. It's almost like brainwashing. And I was just not for it. So I was just like, my compromise was to go to their big events twice a year. And that was it.
Right.
And he agreed to it. And all of a sudden... Oh, you don't come to church with me, and it looks odd because everybody else is carrying their significant other, and we're, you know, it became this big argument, and I'm just like, but you never had a problem before. As a matter of fact, you never used to go every Sunday, so how all of a sudden this is a problem, you know? So that became a thing, but then I just looked at it as like an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Because why all of a sudden this is a problem unless he was being pressured from them, which I didn't really feel like he was being pressured from them. That's why I feel like it was more of an excuse. You know what I mean? It's like he probably had
he
this
wanted to
idea.
Convince
yeah,
that relationship
it's like he probably
wasn't
had
working.
This idea of what that type of a relationship would be,
right.
And when he realized how difficult it was, and I'm not following behind him like a puppy dog. You know, it became a problem because some men just have, or some women too, have this false idea of marriage. They do. You know what I mean? They think it's all a bed of roses, and you know, some men believe that, oh, the women will do this, that, and the third, and I'm the man of the house, what I say goes, and blah, 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 blah. When really and truly, like a lot of families, that's not how it works. So, but these are things you really should talk about while you're dating. And don't be fake about it. Like, be honest about what you expect, what you're looking for, and whatever. Because if you say what the girl wants and you end up marrying that girl, she's there thinking she's getting what she...
A version of you.
Right. Yeah. And then when you get there, all of a sudden, 360, and you're like... What's happening? Like, that's what happens when you fake during dating and not tell the truth of what you really want or what you're looking for. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. What
something to think
about. Yeah, it's a lot to think about, people. Yeah. But yes, these are the things that we don't discuss enough in our society, and I think we need to. And also, when she mentioned the brainwashing, it kind of made me want to segue into red flags to look for in, say, families, maybe families of your significant other or your own, and also religious organizations. So what I've noticed is that there are certain factions of religion, even within our own country, that are, well, globally under investigation. And I know some people are thinking of one specific one, but it's not that one I'm talking about. And there are so many scandals in terms of human rights abuses, mental abuse, emotional abuse, that, you know, again, we don't discuss these things enough. So red flags to look for, I mean, Lucy mentioned a lot. So that's a lot to think of in itself. But also we need to remember that whether it's a family member or a loved one or a religious leader or congregation, things to look for would be things like thought or emotion control. And that can come in several forms. Anyone that tries to keep you from doing any research outside of said organization, basically having inappropriate knowledge of your family, maybe coming in to observe how you live and tell you what you're doing right or wrong, that's inappropriate. Nothing is wrong with general guidance. Everybody needs guidance. People have, you know, life coaches, looking for a life coach. I'm just saying. But things like emotional control and emotional neglect. So a lot of humans need human interaction, and your earliest interactions tend to shape how you go through life and how you emote and how you connect with people. So if your mom or your dad or your religious faction ignores your need for affection, your need to acknowledge your emotional needs rather, or manipulating your emotional needs or on an emotional level, those things can lead to anxiety and depression. So I found that anxiety and depression is very normal these days. It's very common, and the patterns don't lie. I myself am not a health professional, a mental health professional or any of that, but I do have one in my family who I talk about these things with regularly. And I also like to read and do research. So I think it's very important everybody do their own research, and not saying to go and confront your mom about the thing that happened when you were five, but, you know, if things are drummed up, talk about these things, talk about them. Say, you know, mom, when this happened, you know, it really hurt my feelings or things like that. Don't be afraid to discuss your feelings and anything that may have hurt you. And if the person is not willing to hear you, then I would say they don't have your best interest at heart, or they're just not accustomed to that sort of thing. So it's not to demonize anyone. Snitching. It's a double-edged sword. But when a religious organization encourages you to snitch or to go back and tell elders and other members of the congregation what you're doing or who you're with or anything like that, that is also inappropriate. I know people that are in religious organizations that get tattoos and they're ignored for weeks. So many people I've come across that are in these toxic, abusive scenarios, and, you know, and they're bombarded also by mothers or parents who put them on medication from an early age because they're not willing to look at their child as a child that needs emotional fulfillment. You know, and they think they're being tough and they're teaching this child how to be tough in the real world. And really all that child is going to end up doing is being codependent and anxious and depressed. Mm-hmm. So I look at it with a level of sympathy and empathy. But that's not to say I'm going to allow someone to abuse me emotionally, mentally, just because that's what they've been through and that's what they're used to. You have to have healthy boundaries.
Yeah. About it is, it's so easy mm-hmm. for them to do it. It's like second nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a lot of them don't even realize that they're doing it because it is so much a part of them. Mm-hmm. And then the people who are on the receiving end of it, they too don't realize it till years down the line. They're like, oh my God, they look in the mirror and they're like, who am I? Like, mm-hmm. what the hell happened?
Yeah.
And it's like, more people should really think about things and really look into themselves and really talk to themselves as to what's happening with themselves. You know what I mean? Yeah, because you can't just keep going and, oh, I'm happy and, oh.
I'm paying bills.
Yeah. No, like, you really have to take care of your mental, physical, and emotional being.
Yep, I agree.
You know? It's so that weird. You can be that other half to a good unit. Because how is it that you have a lot of couples that are great together? And when you look at them, a lot of them, they have their own identity of separate from them as a couple. And they maintain that identity because it's important. You can't lose yourself and say, oh, now two become one. Nah. Yes, that's it to a degree. But no, like, you still need to maintain that independence and self of self, you know. But when it comes to religion, it's very sticky because a lot of it is like, almost like programming, because a lot of us are born into it, so that's all we know, and we're not taught to question things, or they don't like us to question things, so you don't question things, you just go with the flow, you know. But if more people were to question things, they would recognize something in themselves instead of relying on somebody to tell them how to feel and how to be as a human being, you know?
Exactly. This over-reliance on outside forces to make you a good person, that's something you have to do. You have to allow yourself to be that good person that you want to be. Saying that you don't want to be like your father, who did all kinds of horrible things to your mother, but yet you're doing the exact same thing without thinking, and you keep making excuses for that behavior, saying, well, I've accepted my dark side by continuing to do the exact same thing daddy did.
And this is not to say that religion is a bad thing, because religion is not a bad thing. It sets healthy guidelines for you to live by. It's just that some take it really too far. They take it way far, to the point where they can say anything, and like, they'll say, okay, jump off this bridge, and they jump. Like, they don't even think about it. You know what I mean?
Remember Jim Jones, people.
Oh, right.
Remember Jim Jones. Right.
You know? So, I mean, it's this good... Religion has its positive points. Like, it helps with certain things and provides guidelines to go through life in a healthy way. But then you also have to be mindful of the dark side with some religions, because some religions are have a sense of like this mind control thing, where they want to control everything about you. When you come across a religion like that, I hate to break it to you, but it is...
Get out.
Run. Yeah, you need to get out. You get need to run. Like, it is... What's that word? It is a cult. You know what I'm saying? It is a cult. When you don't have freedom of your mind and your own decisions as a person, nothing is a choice for you, then... Yeah, it's a cult.
And we don't use that word lightly. The thing is that there are world standards for what a cult is and how they operate. So we'll touch on some of those things, but there is an actual list that we have to look into. So, I mean, you go ahead, Lucy, finish your point.
Yeah, so like, with a religion that's dictating how you eat, sleep, breathe, who you marry, who you talk to, who you... what you dress, what you do, how you brush your teeth, like, everything. Like, I'm sorry, that's a cult. To me, that's a cult. Like, when you can't make a decision for yourself around the... Because, I mean, when you look at, say, like, being a Baptist or even an Anglican, right? They have their own rules, yes, but at the end of the day, you still have a decision to make as yourself, you know? guidelines. Religion can give you guidelines that will help you along in life. And it's set up for you so that you can make your own decisions at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. And we encourage people making their own healthy decisions. So there are certain red flags that I wanted to mention. Whether it's a relationship or it's a religious organization, those things are very much intertwined here in our society. So that's the reason why there's so much emphasis. So, says things to upset or frighten you. Becomes overly inappropriate. Jealous of attention from or... becomes overly and inappropriately jealous of attention from or conversation with others. Mm-hmm. Monitors your time and whereabouts. Mm-hmm. Monitors your telephone calls, texts, or email contacts. Makes decisions that affect both of you or the family without consulting you or reaching an agreement with you. Mm. We've all been through that one.
Yeah.
Controls the finances and how you spend money. Repeatedly crosses your boundaries and ignores your requests. Mm. Makes subtle threats or negative remarks with the intent to frighten or control you. Shows complete disregard and disrespect. Disregards your opinions, ideas, suggestions, or needs. Makes jokes at your expense. Uses sarcasm or teasing to put you down or make you feel bad. Swears at you or calls you names. So if anybody's experiencing any of these things, either a discussion needs to be had or it's time to get out. There's another aspect to, say, you know, more controlled organizations. Mm. So there's behavioral control, and that would include imposing rigid rules and regulations, rewards and punishments, used to modify your behavior, your thoughts, feelings, and activities. Reported to superiors, financial manipulation, exploitation, and dependency. So that would mean like they encourage snitching, reporting to, or you reporting to superiors rather. So you don't feel right doing something without the approval of said leader. Mm. Information control. This is used to keep members busy so they don't have time to think or investigate things. There's a reporting system, members reporting on each other. That would be the snitching part. Mm-hmm. Outside sources of info are discouraged or controlled. That would include TV, phone, internet, news, etc. No contact with former members. They're considered flawed or apostates. Mm. That's a huge one. Thought control. Us versus them mentality. So anyone who's not a part of the organization is considered a derogatory name. Mm. Labeling other belief systems as illegitimate, evil, or not useful. Mm. Members all agree their doctrine is the only way to salvation or freedom. Critical questions, doubts about the doctrine, leader, or policies are not tolerated. Emotional control. Used to instill fear, fear of losing salvation or spiritual freedom, fear of the outside world, fear of leaving or being shunned, emotional highs and lows. So that would be praise and love bombing 1 minute, and then the fear of getting in trouble or being excommunicated the next.
You know what this reminds me of? Some of these points remind me of that time that we
that
were
dark time.
In, that dark time we were in that MLM. The MLL group. And it just felt cultish. Like they would regurgitate the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Week in, week out. And everybody's looking like at these people at the top like they're saviors. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I met Michael Jackson.
It was
like,
scary.
It was scary. I was just like, and you know what was the nail in the coffin for me?
the time when we went to one of their conferences in Montego Bay.
Luckily, because I do travel, mm-hmm. okay, I can find you some great travel mm-hmm. deals. Mm-hmm. So I found a great travel deal with the Holiday Inn, which is an all-inclusive in Montego Bay. So we got that because I was just like, hey, we have this conference for 2 days in a row, all day. They looked at us like we were the scum on their shoe because we did not take
their advice
because they said we were spending frivolously. Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And no,
spending
we don't
money
agree.
That we did not have, apparently. And I was just like, but to me, this is logical because
right. we
even got upgraded, people. Okay, to a suite, we got upgraded. Okay,
yes we did.
And I just turned on a little charm, right. And then it was just like, oh.
And the thing is, we saw our uplines.
Yes,
our former uplines.
Hotel
at the same exact.
They will show us images mm-hmm. of them at some fancy villa in Mexico or mm-hmm. in France or wherever with these mm-hmm. private luxurious suites, and I'm just like,
it was a red flag. The
yeah.
point was it was a contradiction in our view as to what they portray to us as our uplines. And also what I found was that their behavior toward us when they saw us there was
yeah,
also suspect.
It was very suspect. Like they treated us like the bad child, like we did something so wrong, so unethical. Like, mm-hmm. we needed to be punished for it. Mm-hmm. So they tried to avoid us or gave us, like, stank eye, like,
right.
You know. And I was just like, what's the problem? Like, I mean, there were so many red flags with that place. I was just like, but I just didn't like how they treated people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you didn't do exactly as they say, when I say exactly as they say, they gave it a stank eye, they shun you, like, they tried to give you the guilt trip thing, mm-hmm. make you feel guilty about things, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, what the hell is this? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't sign up for this, like, what is this? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that is a form of a cult, because they're regurgitating everything, like, day in, day out, no matter who mm-hmm. says it, it's the same thing. So those things that you pointed out there, it kind of reminded me of that, because that was like a form of
mm-hmm.
Brainwashing, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And abuse.
And abuse, yeah.
It's a form of abuse, and people take these things lightly. I mean, abuse comes in many forms, but the emotional and mental one is so elusive. People don't realize it's happening to them. The thing is that all of these, the treatment that you get from your family and from your congregation is so important, because everybody needs to interact. But then when you're getting this kind of abuse, you're not aware of getting it half the time. And then when you're older, you're anxious, you're depressed, you don't know why. And, you know, you go to therapy, but then you stay in your toxic environment. There's no way you're going to improve even if you are going to therapy and you're still staying within that same toxic and abusive environment. It's not going to work. And that's why it feels to a lot of people that it's not working. I've heard several people come to me and say, oh, you know, it's not working. I'm like, yes, that's because you keep staying in the same environment.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's not working. And you throwing money at the thing is not going to make it go away.
Yeah. The problem is still there.
The problem is still there.
You're not you're not attacking the problem head on. It's mm-hmm. it's something emotional and mental. Like, mm-hmm. you really have to work at it. Like, you really have to dig deep, you know?
Yeah, it's at the root. And
yeah.
if you don't find the root, then you're not going to fix the problem.
Yeah.
You're not going to fix all your problems in this life. That's, I mean, good luck to whoever accomplishes that. But, I mean, self-awareness and introspection is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Mental and spiritual hygiene, in the sense of, I'm not talking about, you know, beating yourself up because you forgot to clean your bathroom or something. I'm talking about, you know, a daily routine of self-love, a daily routine of when you give yourself negative talk, know when to stop yourself and change it a little bit. Say, okay, I didn't do too badly there, but I could improve here,
mm-hmm.
you know. I wanted to get Sue's input as to what she would hope for, you know, I guess people, you know, who are in situations like this, what you would hope for them.
Ahem. Okay, so my hope for the person who is listening to this audio right now, if you are currently in a toxic relationship, I hope this is going to give you the courage to, one, look at yourself and say, hey, I'm worth more than this toxic relationship, and give you the courage to end it, because it's very hard to end a toxic relationship. Yeah. I can tell you, because I've been in, let's not say a few, let's just say one.
Sure. One in particular.
Mm-hmm. One in particular, right? And it's hard to come out of it because you don't see it. And all you see is the love that you have for the person and what you, in your head, you imagine. But you don't see all the negative
and
things.
And also looking at the potential.
And the potential.
No pet projects, people.
No pet projects. Let's not do that in 2020. Mm-hmm. So if you are listening to this audio and you know deep down, you know, the relationship is not so good. Mm-hmm. Or it's not right. Or something is not too rightable. Something is wrong. You can start to, one, examine yourself. And examine, you know, tips or things that would tell tales of a toxic relationship. Mm-hmm. And then slowly take your way out of it.
Yeah.
Because trust me, it's going to carry you down a path that you're not going to like. No, you're going to lose yourself.
Yeah.
And it's hard to take yourself out of it. So I hope this audio will encourage someone who is going through that and give them the courage to leave. And as I was saying before, that I don't think a lot of persons are having this conversation, especially at our age.
Yeah.
What I've seen in my lifetime is that people are just doing whatever they think, and they're not really looking at the repercussions or how it affects the next person
or even themselves.
So they just keep hurting people, and it's just a bag of hurts, and like hurt people. And I just hope that we become more aware of ourselves and the actions that we are, you know, the actions that we're taking and how it affects others, and be more responsible when it comes to relationships.
Yeah. I just want to add to that, like, therapy is good, okay? I am a product of therapy, and I mean, I'm the type of person that once you give me the correct tools, I'm a quick learner, right? Because when I went to therapy, I was only there for 2 months because I really wanted to better myself and to really come out of that dark hole I was in. You know what I mean? And it's not easy when you do it without medication, which is what I did, because I didn't want to rely on medication to, you know, feel better or anything. I wanted to be able to do it for myself, which you can do, you know. It's just that it will take a while. Some people it takes months, some people it takes years, some people it takes weeks. But if you get the correct tools, it does wonders for you. And also with these things like depression or anxiety or all those things, those things are basically like learned behavior that you either impose on yourself, or you learned from your parents or your sibling or whatever, or whatever trauma yourself. To protect yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a negative way to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the tools that you get from therapy is positive mm-hmm. tools that will help you to change your negative way of thinking into a positive way of thinking. And it takes practice. Like, you really have to practice at it and know when you're thinking negatively, because some people don't realize that they're thinking negatively. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, once you get that tool, you can change things for the better. And it's not going to happen overnight. It will take a lot of practice. But once you practice, it will become a part of you to the point where you can just do it without even thinking about it, because it's now a part of you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I also want to say that some people think that therapy is a bad thing, or they can't afford it. I mean, we're in the age now of Google. Like, Google is your best friend. You can find so many free books on thought and psychology and communication and all these things online. And if you're able to have like a Kindle account, like you can have access to all kinds of books and Audible even the too. Library. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Audible. Mm-hmm. You can go to the library, like, invest in yourself. Use that as a way to invest in yourself. It's a cheaper way, mm-hmm. because everybody knows therapy costs a lot of money and not everybody can afford it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But at least you have all these free tools accessible to mm-hmm. you. Internet being the main one.
Exactly.
There are so many things you can find on the internet, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And there are so many things accessible to you, you know?
Exactly.
If you can't go to the library, mm-hmm. you can get internet on your phone. Mm-hmm. Get a 7-day planner or something and just look for what you need and get it done, you know. Mm-hmm. Take pride in yourself. Mm-hmm. Like it is you. Like nobody can save you except yourself.
Exactly. This is the age of information, people, and it's time for us to start taking responsibility for our actions, our thoughts, and our existence. I mean, reading is all these things Lucy listed are exactly the things that have helped me. Am I perfect? No, nobody is. Have I come out of, you know, my own personal darkness? Not entirely, but there is a use for darkness. Darkness in your shadow side is not something to be feared. It's not something to just give in to blindly, to give the wheel to drive you anywhere. That's not its purpose. Its purpose is for you to learn yourself better. Allow your shadow to become your friend. If you read Carl Jung, Carl Jung was really, really good. Anything on Carl Jung, J-U-N-G, last name Jung. Anything on him, there's lots of other books and information out there. Maybe we'll explore more in terms of the emotional, spiritual, and mental hygiene. You know, keeping your hygiene up. I mean, you have your physical hygiene. You should know that by now. I'm not going through that. Mm-hmm. But this other side of hygiene, you know, the metaphysical, the mental, the emotional. You know, you don't just have a physical body. You have your spiritual body, emotional body, your mental body. You have to take these things into consideration. And you don't have to believe anything that I'm saying. You don't have to take anything as gospel. Mm-hmm. I am not a religious leader, nor do I run a cult. So it's literally just for free conversations here. I want people to feel comfortable having these discussions, and I want us to have fun doing it too. You know, crack some corny jokes, you know. So it's not just me laughing at myself. But yeah, and with all of that being said, you know, I want us to really not be afraid to have these talks. I want us to, it's not about perfection. Perfection is so boring. Mm-hmm. And we're, as far as I know, we're not going to get there on this plane. So that's not the purpose. The purpose is to learn. The purpose is to grow. The purpose is to improve. And the negative pitfalls that happen, they need to be lessons to us. Lessons on our path to self-actualization. Mm-hmm. Which is everybody's goal, I hope. Maybe. I don't know. World domination for some. But, you know. Legion of Doom. But, yeah. So, you know, I really appreciate everyone listening here. I hope you found it entertaining. I hope you found it insightful. And feel free to share. And, so we'll be back for another episode when I get that done. But, yes. But again, thanks so much for listening. And this has been Elizabeth on the Fringe. See you in a bit.